We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. And the Nets bounce back. Jack got the win over the Knicks tonight, 114-112. No James Harden, no Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving led the show, and they got the dub. How are we feeling?
Goddamn Kai time.
Goddamn Kai time. Spot on, Jack. Before we jump into it, as always, you can find the Brooklyn Buzz on all streaming platforms. But, Jack, where do you want to start with this one?
Let's start, I guess, with Kyrie Irving, Nick. There was highlights aplenty. He crossed Julius Randle all the way back to New Orleans and back again. He was, and look, it was good defense from Julius Randle on a couple of his possessions of Kyrie Irving, but he just made him look silly. And I mean, he was absolutely incredible tonight, especially with, you know, what was ultimately going to be a bit of a downer of a game, especially after that sort of first 5-6 minutes. James Harden gets subbed off because of the hamstring injury, re-aggravating that, and we're just like, man, it's going to be a tough game. You know, the Knicks have got some deep talent. You know, they're going to be motivated. They don't want to get swept by their crosstown rivals. Julius Randle's in good form. RJ Barrett's playing nicely. Reggie Bullock's in goddamn everything from three. But Kyrie Irving was just awesome. And it sort of, I was really happy to see that the Nets are really able to fight again. You know, we've talked on different podcasts about the level of desire, motivation, and fight and grittiness from this team. You know, and it was all of that and more tonight in this game. And there were some mistakes, and you know, Kyrie Irving even owned up to them himself in the post game with Michael Grady, which is something I really like. You know, just he's just like, guys, I'm sorry to the fans at home and stuff. It's just like, Kai, you're good, man. We love you so much. You just keep smiling, man, and no one's ever going to stop loving you, especially Nets fans. But Kyrie Irving, Nick, just what a star. What a goddamn star.
He really put on a show. You mentioned James Harden played 4 minutes and 22 seconds this game. Kevin Durant's still out. Blake Griffin is out. Landry Shamet's out. Tyler Johnson's out. So really, the only playmaker and creator was Kyrie Irving and occasionally Chris Chioza. So a lot of credit to Kyrie with all the pressure he got tonight. Still dropped 40 points, 15 of 28 from the field, 5 of 12 from three, 7 assists. You know, just really led the team and made sure they got this win. And you saw him encouraging guys even when they were down 10. And that's something we've been talking about. Him as a leader, he's kind of stepped up in that area and really encouraging some of the younger guys. And he even got Alize Johnson going a little bit.
Yeah, I thought that just his ability as a point guard combined with his, you know, we've sort of raved about his point guard skills of late, Nick, you know, the sort of quote unquote pure point guard passing facilitating skills. But I thought he balanced that with the ability to be like, I'm going to have to get a 40-piece tonight for us to get the W. And, you know, he was able to make Alize Johnson look good in a way that you would probably expect James Harden to do with other teammates in games past. You know,
very Harden-esque on a lot of those outlet passes.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, he did some great things with TLC as well, you know, despite the fact that TLC was, you know, it was a TLC kind of performance, and, you know, we'll get to him in a little bit. But Kyrie Irving just had highlights aplenty, whether it was bullying Peyton down low or, you know, just getting goddamn double pump fake dunks, whatever you want to call them. Get him in the dunk contest in 2022. He'll probably provide a bit of entertainment. He'll probably beat Obi Toppin. There's no doubt about that. but in all seriousness, Nick, another absolutely masterful performance from Kyrie Irving tonight. And, you know, with the Harden injury dampening and putting a sour on it all, we're going to need him to keep doing this sort of thing. And hopefully Kevin Durant helps ease that burden next game or the game after.
100%. And I mean, he shot 5 free throws tonight. I felt like he deserved maybe 7 to 9 in this one. A lot of contact, and guys like, you know, RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, Alfred Payton getting calls, and Kyrie not. That's kind of frustrating. I am slightly concerned with his catch and shoot 3-point shot. It's been a little bit off. I want to say almost all of his makes were on step back or like sidestep threes. I think maybe one catch and shoot, but he's been struggling with that a little bit over the last couple games.
I think
he's a slight slump.
Yeah, I think for me, it's the above-the-break three sometimes, Nick. He's better off the pull-up than the catch and shoot. Yep. And I think some of that is just a rhythm thing where you're able, for him, it just seems like he's able to get a bit more strength and a bit more rhythm, similar to like Caris LeVert in seasons past. But obviously, Kyrie Irving is a much more advanced shooter in all levels than Caris LeVert, despite the level that we have for CLV. But yeah, in all honesty, you know, the fact that that three ball was back, it was just like, you know, we've seen him, you know, struggle a little bit from there. And again, very small sample size of struggles for him. He is one of the best 3-point shooters in the league at the position. You know, it's him, it's Steph, and it's Dame. And he was shooting them like both of those superstars as well.
Yeah, I mean, in that right wing spot or left wing, whatever way you're looking at it, you know, where he hit the shot in the finals in which they were reviewing on the broadcast, he's just straight money from there. And when he snatched Julius Randle's ankles, man, that was just some disgusting stuff.
It was goddamn filthy. I'm home alone right now. I'm clapping. I'm probably going to get some noise complaints from some of my neighbors soon enough. But man, he was just, there was just no other player. I was like tonight to some of the other shots as well, like some of his bank shots. And I was just like, Kai, what are you doing? Come on. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yep. Good. Yep. All right. Keep taking those, Kai. He makes the bad look good. And he's the biggest, like, there has to be like some, there's that many advanced stats, Nick. Yep. We need to get like some advanced analytics on what the F shots, because Kyrie Irving would have been like 80% from the field on those and would be leading the league by a goddamn, you know, in a very extended margin. Love how he uses the glass. He's certainly got some Kobe Bryant in him. And he's just an incredibly strong player as well. I want to give him a bit of love there too, for a dude that's, you know, 6'2", a couple of inches short of the mayor, probably your height. He's got an immense strength, composure, poise, body control. He's got it all.
Yeah, and I mean, that shot he hit in the first quarter where he looked like he got fouled and he hit the shot going down, that's like one of the most difficult shots you'll see all season. And we're talking about just one.
His left. Okay, it feels like we're going to probably miss some of the shots, guys, that Kyrie Irving hit tonight. So hit me and Nick in the DMs up if we did miss anything, and we'll try and make sure we get to all of them in some form or another, where we do a little solo periscope or something and just analyze every Kyrie Irving shot. But in all honesty, Nick, that shot as well, like I forgot about it because it was so early on in the game. How?
You mentioned how strong he is. It's a lot of like great core strength. You know what I mean? Like off balance and still being able to kind of use your arm and get enough strength to push the ball up as you're falling down at a ridiculous angle. Because it's not like he was straight up. He was like falling backward. So like you said, I mean, it's to the point where we can only mention a handful of the highlights because there's literally so many every game.
Yeah, I've got some good OnlyFans content with Joe Harris. Got some nice extra ones tonight.
You could just do a Kyrie Irving layup package.
Yeah, maybe I need to do a TikTok and open up a TikTok and just get my face and reacting to Kyrie Irving shots. I'm sure people want to see this ugly Aussie mug reacting to Kyrie Irving and his just goddamn beauty on the court. He does everything, Nick. I don't understand like how he does it. Like I truly... It boggles just regular logic, and it boggles basketball logic. It boggles just basic, just like I find it hard to comprehend what he does in the basketball court, and just the ability to execute it so easily and flawlessly and so efficiently. Like, a lot of these guys will take these bad shots, and it's just like, all right, okay, you got to stop doing that. But yeah. Kai takes them, and he makes the bad shots look good. You know, yeah. If Paul George was ever guarding Kyrie Irving, I wouldn't want to hear his post game. conference, that's for sure.
No, that's really fair. And obviously, you know, Kyrie, like we said, led the show with the other stars being out and the other role players being out. He was great tonight. Who do you think was the second best net tonight, Jack?
It's a hard question. I'm going to give it to Jeff Green. I thought Jeff Green, when it really did matter, really did step up in a big way. You know, obviously got the free throws at the end to ice it for us. He was just, and you know, he's still dunking like a goddamn 25-year-old, not the 34-year-old that he does. And he got to the line 13 times. I thought his aggression was really, really good. But I thought it was a real team performance outside of that. You know, I thought it was like, you know, you can make it 2A, 2B, 2C, 2D, 2E. Yeah. In a lot of respects, but you know, Jeff Green, 36 minutes, 6 of 15 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3, 9 of 13 from the free throw line, thankfully hit the final two. Those are the ones that did matter. Had a couple of boards as well, 23 points for him. I mean, we need him in the biggest way, especially in the absence of so much of our rotation and whoever it is. You know, he is one of the most talented players on this roster right now, and that's saying a lot for him. You know, he is producing at a level that he might be one of the best contracts in the league, Nick. I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah, I thought defensively.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did a really nice job on Julius Randle. You know, obviously Randle's improved a ton this season and he's become an all-star, but he held him to 7 of 19. And I love to see the matchup stats specifically for Green versus Randle because I thought he did a nice job. He also did a nice job helping on a couple different possessions. And like you said, Jack, you know, just stepping up. I think he realized in that fourth quarter, like, hey, my jumper's a little off, but these guys really are terrible inside. They're in foul trouble already. Julius Randle's not a great defender. Let me attack and get 13 free throws. You know what I mean? That's the difference in the game right here. So credit to Jeff Green, like you said, thought he really was a solid performance. And we've talked about in the past, he just kind of steps up when the other stars are out. Like, hey, I know I don't need to score 20 every night, but in a night like this, they really needed that 20 from Jeff Green.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters, the more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of three mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Big time. Who else do you want to give some love to, Nick?
I thought actually Joe Harris was in contention for the second best net tonight.
Rebounding tonight, Nick. Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
Offensive boards.
Like, he led the team in offensive rebounding. Like, that will never have happened in Joe Harris's career. No, like, I know the stats. I know every single box score in Joe Harris's career. He has never, look, don't quote me on that. But in all honesty, it was a masterful performance in so many different ways outside of the shooting. Like, he was just incredible in his physicality that he brought out there. Yep. It seems to me that the Knicks sort of brought that side out of him in a way. You know, they have a high level of physicality. They've got big bruising dudes that really sort of make you work. You had two steals as well, 16 points, 2 of 3 from 3, 7 of 11 from the field. You know, his obvious driving game was really on tonight. I liked his passing game too. He was awesome tonight, Nick. You know, him and, you know, they had to be... Joe Harris and Jeff Green had to be our second and third, or, you know, interchangeably best players with James Harden out, and they stepped up. They really did.
Yeah, and I thought it was a solid game defensively for Joe. He really didn't get exposed a ton in this one, too. And like you said, Jack, the Knicks play good defense. You know, one of the best defenses in the league. They might lead the league in defensive rating at this current moment. So they're going to run guys off the three-point line. They're going to make you work, and they made Joe work, and he took advantage of a lot of those hard closeouts, and we saw him drive to the rim and get a couple lanes. And like you said, 4 offensive rebounds. I mean, he might have led the team in offensive rebounding before with maybe like 1 or 2 or something on a random night, but like you said, I've never seen him have 4 offensive rebounds and really meaningful ones, especially that one in the fourth quarter when Kyrie was on the bench. Joe had that little spurt, and that's what the Nets really needed.
Yeah, I thought the team overall was great in the rebounding department, Nick, especially in the second half. I thought that's what really gave us life. And, you know, it was the defense. It was the defensive rebounding. It was the offensive rebounding. It was Joe Harris. It was Alize Johnson. It was all these sort of dudes. It was Claxton getting down there as well, showing his rebounding prowess. TLC chipping in a little bit too. I thought LaMarcus Aldridge showed some good fight down there when he was out there.
The game was pretty much won on an offensive rebound, right?
It really was.
TLC tipped it to Jeff Green.
That was really clever. You know, I think we've got to give it a TLC a lot of credit there. And, you know, obviously Joe Harris had an incredible night, and we can rave about him for plenty of occasions. But we do have to show TLC some love, despite the fact that the box score doesn't look as nice as it probably is. 9 points, 2 of 7 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Did have 3 boards, including that little, I don't know if it was, that was the offensive board that counted for him or if it counted for Jeff Green, but he did have 3 assists, did have a steal, did have a block, was showing some love and some fight against Julius Randle as well. Talking some smack in French. I need to start learning up with my French, get my Duolingo or one of those, you know, language apps and start learning what TLC was probably saying. And he probably was telling Frank Ntilikina about it after the game as well. But in all honesty, Nick, you know, there was some, you know, I didn't mind the bit of the yak, the dunk, and then missing it, because it was cool seeing the sort of team get up for him. I love the team atmosphere, the family vibes and the love that everyone's showing down there. But I thought TLC was solid tonight. I thought that he was important to the team, and we needed him. You know, it was a little bit frustrating to see him be the first guy come off the bench after James Harden's injury. But honestly, you know, when you are lacking in wing talent, TLC has to be that guy that has to play some minutes. And yes, Alize Johnson looks much better on the box score, and he probably could have closed the game as well. But I thought... TLC, he did have another brain fart as well, where Kyrie Irving made a great defensive play and TLC's eyes were just in the back of his head. And it's just like, dude, just grab the ball. Kyrie made like a great defensive play. Don't let the ball just go out of bounds. And Kyrie Irving turned into basically Nets Twitter and had a bit of a grumble at him. But yeah, what were your thoughts on his performance?
Yeah, I thought he was solid. I think there was less of those bonehead plays. You know, you mentioned that one. I think maybe there was another one at some point. I can't recall specifically. But I remember him fouling on any closeouts, which is always pretty important, because he didn't foul on the three-point shot for Reggie Bullock. That was Kyrie. So, and then also 0 turnovers. You know, I think that's something you look at for TLC. He's kind of staying within himself. You know, on the poster attempt, I would say try with 2 hands first before you kind of go for that Vince Carter-type dunk. But overall, you know, like you said, Jack, Steve Nash was limited tonight. Like, there was a lot of guys out, and if TLC had a terrible game, the Nets probably lose this one. The fact that he was just, you know, okay, +1, I think that's good enough for the Nets to get the win, and that's what really mattered.
I thought he did a good job tonight, Steve Nash, in terms of the rotation, going a little bit deeper, going 10 deep, obviously forced to go 10 deep with James Harden now. You know, 17 minutes for Alize Johnson, 17 for Clax, 21 for Bruce Brown. I thought Chioza, despite the fact that, you know, I like that mid-range shot more than the three-point shot that he did hit tonight. You know, he obviously had a couple of dimes as well, but he was +12 when he was out there. You know, he wasn't a net negative. He wasn't, you know, getting switched onto Julius Randle or RJ Barrett or these sort of dudes. He was able to be hidden defensively, and it led to the Nets making a comeback when he was out there and actually extending the lead when Kyrie Irving was on the bench.
Yeah, that unit, I think, what was it? Chris Chioza, Bruce Brown, Alize Johnson, Nick Claxton, and TLC. Like, they didn't even have a Joe Harris, an Aldridge, or a Kyrie on the floor. And that unit was able to go on that run at the end of the third quarter leading into the fourth. And that was really the difference in the game. So credit to these guys. And Chioza did a solid job, obviously. You know, it's sometimes tough watching him with that lack of offensive scoring ability. But you're right, Jack. He does get things going, especially in transition. He does have great vision. You know, was able to put guys in position where they could at least score, or have an opportunity to score.
Yeah, I mean, as a guy on a two-way contract, you can do much, much worse than having Chris Chioza at the end of your rotation. And obviously, with the amount of injuries to Landry Shamet and Tyler Johnson, who would have provided that similar sort of role to what Chioza did tonight, I thought he was capable enough in those minutes. And again, plus 12, you know, despite the fact that the box score says a lot of other things, 0 of 2 from 3, 1 of 4 from the field. I'm looking at that plus 12 and you know, only the two turnovers. I thought that he was a positive out there and was a solid reason why the Nets were able to maintain an ascendancy and get guys open and just, you know, get the ball flowing, get that energy, keep that just momentum for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, and that stretch was huge. Like I said, that was a momentum-changing stretch, and credit to Chioza and a lot of those guys. And you mentioned Alize Johnson before. I want to talk about him a little bit. The rebounding really pops. Just the energy and the effort level constantly. We talked about this when the Nets first brought him on. Like, he's going to be hungry. He wants an NBA contract. And at first, to be honest, I didn't think he really had a shot at getting this last roster spot. And now I think it's something that's becoming a little bit more realistic. At the end of the day, I'd really like for him to get the two-way spot at minimum.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to get on. I was chatting to you in the DMs. I want him on that Lou Dort basic or TLC or Rodion's Court sort of, you know, 4 year, $7 million, $9 million, $10 million sort of contract, because this dude has something. He has athleticism. A lot of people are sort of comparing him to sort of like a wing size Bruce Brown, and I see it. You know, I see the athleticism. I see the activity. I see the desire. I see the aggression. You know, sometimes he can get bullied a little bit, and sometimes you look at his feet. He's just moving so much, and sometimes Klax does that as well, but I think Klax has a bit more balance, whereas Alize is almost overexerting himself sometimes when he gets the switches on the big dudes, but he also is just showing incredible activity to just run and run and run. He's a heck of an athlete, and his rebounding tonight was incredible. You know, looking at his entire box score, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 6 of 10 from the field, had a dime as well. I thought his activity was great, and I thought he was a really big reason why the Nets, because he was out there with the likes of Kyrie Irving at times, and he's creating shots, you know, in that little floater range. He was getting out in transition. He was making shots around the rim. I think Richard Jefferson mentioned a lot of the time, you know, he knows what he can do, and he's not playing, he's playing within himself. I think I'm directly quoting RJ there. And, you know, I think that having, you know, guys like him, like Bruce Brown, just gives you balance in, you know, when Kyrie Irving's just doing his offensive thing, Jeff Green's out there. I think, you know, if he's in lineups, you know, outside of a TLC or whatever, I don't know, Nick. I think this kid's got something. I know K-Wall Hoops is probably going to be pretty happy about it as well. And a lot of other people are big fans of Alize Johnson. I think he deserves an NBA contract, and hopefully that is with the Brooklyn Nets, because, you know, as a guy in the 12th, 13th in the rotation, and when we are struggling with injuries, Alize can give you something.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely see the value in his game. And like you talked about, Jack, he plays within himself, does a nice job cutting and moving without the basketball and try to kind of moving to those open spaces. And he's able to attack the offensive board because he hustles. You know, he hustles to get back on defense. Like you said, willing defender, not the biggest guy, but still bigger than some of the other wings in Nets play. So really happy with the play he had in this game, and kind of came out of nowhere. And that push slash floater slash, I don't know, hook shot, it's just very quick. It kind of catches people off guard. And he has that nailed down pretty good. And just inside and playing with the players the Nets have, there's going to be opportunities for him to kind of get those open shots, especially with the three-point shooting they have too.
Yeah, you got to provide a point of differentiation if you are a role player on this Nets team. And Alize Johnson gives you that. Bruce Brown gives you that. Jeff Green gives you that. Joe Harris gives you that. What is your skill? What is it that's going to get you those minutes? Alize Johnson showed tonight and has showed countless times. It's his rebounding. It's his athleticism. It's his endurance. It's his energy. It's all those sort of things that you want out of a guy coming off the bench when he's playing either with the starters or when it's with the bench sort of dudes. The ability to just run and run and run and run. You know, he's a heck of a competitor, and sometimes energy, hustle, that is a skill, Nick, and he's providing that in spades.
And talking about another guy who plays with a lot of energy, that's Nick Claxton. Thought his first half wasn't necessarily great, but I felt like he picked it up in the second half defensively too, and then rebounding wise he was great offensively. He's having a little bit of issue finding his spots. Obviously the Nets missing some of that offensive talent. It's not quite as easy for him to just get the oops and the easy layups.
Yeah, I think he's missing James Harden a lot, Nick, to be honest. You know, James Harden is...
A lot of guys do.
DeAndre Jordan probably misses him too. Probably still be in the rotation if James Harden had been healthy. But in all honesty, I think he's also going to work a little bit on those free throws. That's one thing he could learn from. I can't help but make the comparison to Jared Allen. I'm sorry if I've done it too much on this podcast. And, you know, you can hit me up in the DMs if I'm doing it too much. But, you know, Jared Allen was always a really, really good free throw shooter. 70 to 75%. Russ Clax is around that sort of early season DJ style, and you know, Nerlens Noel, you know, it's just like he could get hacked in important games if he's out there, because when you have an incredible offensive firepower and Nicholas Clax is your fifth man out there, you know, it's almost better to just hack Clax. And if he's going to continue missing his free throws, I'm not necessarily sure totally on his stats so far, but I'm sure that, you know, it's an aberration because I'm not sure what his college numbers were. I don't necessarily think it's necessarily a mechanics issue. I think it's something that he can improve, but again, defensively, really, really good. It was only like one time where I think D-Rose got him off the dribble, but then he did get him back in the second and third quarters. You know, again, 6 boards, 3 offensive boards, again, providing value there. 3 dimes for him. I thought his passing was really, really good tonight. Yep. You and I chatted about that in the DMs too, Nick. Had a steal, had a block, continuing to impact the game, even if he isn't doing it as much offensively.
Yeah, and on the season, I think this is not including tonight, Jack. He's shooting 54% from the free throw line and shot 52% last season. So, like you said, definitely an area he needs to improve, especially if he wants to be on the floor in big moments. That could be a big factor. And obviously, if the Nets are putting out, you know, 4 elite offensive players and a Kyrie Irving, a James Harden, a Joe Harris, and a Kevin Durant, you know, that might be a real option for you. You know what I mean? Even if it's only 1 of 2, it's better than getting a 2 or a 3. So something that definitely Clax needs to work on. And I think this was a game where the Nets couldn't afford to have him on the floor for a large chunk of minutes because they probably need a little more of LaMarcus Aldridge's offense. But still, they really didn't use Aldridge a ton offensively either.
Yeah, I know you were sort of, you know, like sort of wanting and desiring for him to be used a bit more in the post.
Weird, because I don't even really like, I'm not a giant LaMarcus Aldridge fan, and I'm not a giant fan of post-ups, but it just felt like this was a shot where maybe it would have worked.
No, then look, it's a fair point. You know, only 8 points. Did have 6 boards. I thought he rebounded the ball quite well. It's almost a stark contrast to Nicholas Claxton, who is just bouncy and athletic as hell, whereas LaMarcus Aldridge is lumbering a little bit in how he sort of moves down the floor. Yeah, he's just big. He's not necessarily as fluid. Like, even DJ almost looks like he has more athleticism than Aldridge, but Aldridge makes up for it with offensive talent, desire, and engagement. You know, he did have 2 blocks, and I did have a steal as well. I thought he looked pretty decent defensively for the most part. And again, you know, he had a dunk also. I just think that, you know, it wasn't his best game, but, you know, this is him working out the kinks a little bit. I still think that he added value, was +7 on the night. Again, you know, those two blocks and 2 assists as well. I think that LaMarcus Aldridge is continuing to prove that, you know, whether he's going to be a starter going forward or whether you have Clax or whether he closes games, I think it's just better to, like we alluded to at the start of this signing, you know, after his first game or so, better to have those options than to just not have them available, because it's just like, well, you got DJ and you got Jeff Green. What else have we got? Well, now we've got Clax. Now we've got LaMarcus Aldridge, and you've got Kevin Durant coming back to add in to
Blake Griffin.
The Blake Griffin, obviously, as well. The front court rotation just looks better when you have bodies.
Yeah, and different matchups for everything. You got counters. And like you said, Jack, you know, Aldridge, I think he does a better job positioning-wise in terms of DeAndre Jordan, a little bit quicker with the hands. And also, like we mentioned, I think in his first matchup, he does better against these centers that don't have a three-point shot. You know, Vucevic had him moving a lot in that Chicago game. This game, you know, Nerlens Noel really doesn't do much offensively other than a couple dunks and maybe a push shot here and there. And I would have probably liked to see him attack Noel a little bit, because we saw that one possession where he just manhandled him in the post and Noel ended up on the ground. And like, let's be honest, the weight difference has to be close to 50 pounds between those two, if not more.
Yeah, it's a better matchup for him than Clax on Noel, because, you know, Clax, he got got by Noel a few times. He's one of the best shot blockers in the league. And in saying that, like you said, you know, the physical advantage that Aldridge did have. But I will also say that, you know, that rebound, one that stood out for me from Clax was that one over Gibson, where it's just like, oh, you've got the longest arms in the world, I'm going to grab this from you and just yak it out of your hands or yak it out of the air. It was a heck of a board.
A lot of strong rebounds from Claxton tonight. And I think Aldridge did a nice job on the rebounding front too. He's just a big body. You see him fight for those offensive boards. If he had a little bit more pop in those legs, I think he'd be obviously more dominant in that effect too. So, you know, solid games from the bigs, nothing crazy, but they did enough for the Nets to get a win.
And that's all that matters. You know, yep. you need the solid service from these dudes. If you're not a superstar, you just need solid, capable play from your front court.
Yep. I mean, Bruce Brown tonight, not necessarily a huge game for him, but I thought he was good defensively.
Yeah, I'm surprised to see that minus 20. You know, I didn't necessarily think that would be such an inflated number. You know, and you look at the three assists, five boards, you know, 4 points. And I really liked, you know, his ability to create for himself in at the start of the game where James Harden had just gone off and Bruce sort of had to go out there and the team was lacking a little bit. And he's like, you know what, I can take it off the dribble here. I'm going to be point guard Bruce a little. So, look, Bruce is going to continue to do a few things here and there. And I just thought that the depth of the rotation tonight, you know, he might not have been the best player out there. And, you know, minus 20 doesn't look good on paper. But I still think that he did give the team some moments.
Yeah, he does always gives you energy and toughness. I mean, I think it's just his deficiencies can stick out a little bit more if guys aren't shooting well from three. And I think in that first half, the Nets struggled a little bit from three. And even throughout the night, they just weren't hitting necessarily all their shots other than maybe a Joe Harris. And even Kyrie was 5 of 12, too. So, but a lot of the other guys, they weren't necessarily generating those three-point looks and generating the spacing. And credit to the Knicks, they do a nice job of shrinking the floor.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks have been one of the best teams in the league at preventing, you know, limiting teams with their three-pointers. And some of that you might say is outliers and some of that you might say is luck. But tonight, you know, the Nets themselves weren't really great from the three-point line, 10 of 32. And some of that was good defense, like you alluded to earlier, preventing Joe Harris from taking a heap of those shots. And some of them is a little bit fluky. But they do a good job of that. And Tom Thibodeau is a really solid defensive coach. They've got a system there that works. They're a tough team, and you know, if we see them in the postseason, it's going to be feisty and it's going to be a heck of a grind.
Yeah, they definitely make you earn the win. And obviously tonight the Nets weren't their most talented team because they're missing so many guys. So like you kind of alluded to earlier, Jack, just nice to see them grind out a game. It's not something we see a ton this season, but with the injuries, it's something they might have to do moving forward, because like we talked about, James Harden left this game after 4 minutes and change of play. What's your concern level on James Harden right now, Jack?
Got some news from Matt Brooks, Nick. This is via Steve Nash. He says, we can't risk it if we can afford not to, said Steve Nash of James Harden's injury. Mentions that the scan is clean, but he's not sure whether it lingers or not. So it's an interesting one because it's been tightness and there's no tear. And we know that there was a tear and some deep bleeding for Kevin Durant and such, and grade one to a grade two or whatever for him. But on James Harden sort of thing, you know, whether this season and just a heavy load or whatever, or whether the fact that he's now in his 30s is starting to catch up to him a little bit. I know a lot of other people are sort of, you know, arguing about the Nets training staff or whatever, but, you know, I put out a tweet about the list of NBA players that are injured, and I still could have filled up probably another couple of tweets with players that were out injured, because I think that this season, Nick, I mentioned, coming over to the outlet, JBT, or just one of the general NBA pods, about the fact that this season is so condensed. And I was sort of comparing it to the restart of the NBA, the EPL Premier League, the English Premier League soccer. And the fact that they had such a condensed schedule led to a lot of muscle injuries and a lot of sort of injuries in that department, where it's overuse and just a lack of conditioning and a lack of rest, and which just makes you more susceptible to those hamstrings, to those calf injuries and the like. I think we're starting to see that not just for the Brooklyn Nets, but for the season overall. And ultimately, you know, James Harden's going to want to be out there. And if he got the green light, I totally trust the training staff. You know, they know way more than we do. Who is it up for the people to just go throw some Twitter fingers out there and sort of just go, you know what, the Nets have a problem with their training staff here, which is like, and then the same people will be arguing about the fact that, why isn't James Harden out there? Why aren't we getting the, it's just like, you can't have it both ways. You know, you would, it can't be like they're too conservative and then they're not conservative enough. It's just like, that storyline and that narrative doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So I'm ultimately just hoping this isn't more than just tightness, Nick, and just he can take all the time he needs, because now you've got, you know, the scary hours won't truly be there. There'll be scary minutes when Kevin Durant does come back, hopefully against the New Orleans Pelicans, but if not against the Lakers. And then you've got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant there. This is what, or having that quote-unquote superstar insurance, it's all about.
Yeah, it really is, Jack. And I think, you know, hopefully Harden honestly sits out Wednesday, you know, give him some extra rest for that hamstring, because then the Nets don't play again until Saturday. You know what I mean? Then you can afford to get him some extra rest. And the hamstring thing, like you said, luckily nothing on the scan, probably just like maybe an extremely sore muscle, like you said, some tightness there. And he's had a crazy workload. He's obviously led this team with the injuries to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, obviously missing time. So it could almost be a blessing in disguise, to the extent, is this the only way you're going to get James Harden to rest his body a little bit? And the nice thing is, it's like a nice mini break before the postseason. You know what I mean? The playoffs are going to be here right around the corner. Afford to get James Harden maybe a week off, I think that could be really big for him going into the postseason.
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously just conservative. Again, tightness is – a lot of people were sort of arguing about the fact that Kevin Durant, why isn't he coming back? When is he coming back? And now we're sort of hearing the news that, you know, obviously Steve Nash doesn't want to confirm a timeline because he doesn't want to put that pressure on his players. But, you know, we know that he's going to be coming back sooner rather than later. We saw him putting up shots looking like the Kevin Durant of old, you know, looking pretty goddamn wet out there. You know, Christian Winfield was sort of saying that he barely saw him miss in those pre-game warm-ups. So I think KD is going to be fine when he does come back. Let James Harden take all the time that he needs. We've still got 20 or so games left in this season. And as long as he gets 5, 10 games, he'll have to sort of get that conditioning going as well. But James Harden's a warrior, and he's an athlete, and he's incredibly durable. So I think this could, again, maybe a blessing in disguise, as we sort of alluded to, Nick. But ultimately, as long as it's tightness and it's not a tear, it's a lot more positive.
Yeah, and obviously the turnaround's going to be a lot quicker. And, you know, you want to see the other guys get back. Blake Griffin should be back for the next game. It just seems like he's not going to play any back-to-backs this season, which I think is the right move for the Nets. We talked about Shamet re-injuring that ankle. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him maybe over the weekend. I wouldn't mind also if they took that longer approach with him, but it'd be interesting to see, because Tyler Johnson, Steve Nash, that'll probably be out 2 to 3 weeks. So then the guard depth gets a little shaky if you do have Harden, Johnson, and Shamet all out on an extended stretch.
Definitely. And look, I want to give a shout out to Jeff Green again, Nick, because NBA Central put out a pretty nice little stat of him. His last three games, 23 points, 4 rebounds and a block, 21 points, 58% from the field, 4 three-pointers made, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 three-pointers made. We did hear as well, Nick, you know, he got asked about it in the post-game presser, what's with all these three-pointers being made, Jeff? And he's like, I'm practicing, guys. This is something I work on. And, you know, he deserves a ton of credit. I don't think that, you know, everyone's arguing about LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, oh, the league is broken, blah, blah, blah. Jeff Green on a minimum contract. That's what a lot of opposing fans should be angry about.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, that could be, you know, one of the Nets' biggest tools in the postseason, just that versatility he has, because we saw him match up pretty well with Julius Randle tonight.
Yeah, incredibly strong defensively, an absolute beast offensively, playing like a man 10 years his youth. Absolutely awesome stuff from Jeff Green. And, you know, hopefully, ultimately, Nick, you know, things are okay in Brooklyn Nets land. They are perfect. The scary hours haven't been totally activated. We're getting minutes. We're getting seconds every now and then. Kyrie Irving has been incredible of late. We've had James Harden had to step up. Kevin Durant has provided, you know, his sort of highlights in the early parts of the season. As long as we get all these guys healthy, I think that the ultimate competitor to the Brooklyn Nets success is going to be themselves.
Yeah, it really is. Obviously, you know, they're an extremely talented team. And we saw some rumblings on Twitter about people talking about even possible Spencer Dinwiddie return. If that were to happen, you know, this now I think you start entering a different conversation about where this team could rank all time. Obviously, we need to see them all healthy on the court to get to that conversation. But things are okay, like you said, Jack, at Brooklyn. And the future looks like it can be really, really exciting. And by the future, I mean the next few weeks.
Yeah, the future is bright. And, you know, one game at a time, the Pelicans will be next. KD in the black and white will be pretty bloody good when he is out there again. Kyrie Irving's talking up the jersey swag of the Brooklyn Nets. I love it when he does that. You know, he did it against the Boston Celtics. We live, baby, talking about, you know, get the Basquiat jerseys. You know, I just love how Kyrie Irving has such a passion just for the franchise. You know, you can tell that he's like a homegrown kid, and it's sort of like he is a fan that gets to play for his homegrown team. And he can't help but love that. He provides the vibes. He provides the energy. It's infectious, man.
Yeah, and I think this game, you can tell in some of these Knicks games, you know, he brings that little extra energy to get the W there. It means probably a little bit more than him than some of the other guys on the team.
Goddamn car time.
Jack, anything else you want to discuss before we get out of here?
Look, I think that all the points were sort of made, Nick, about this Brooklyn Nets team going forward. You know, you solidify that number one spot after the Sixers have a night off. You know, Joel Embiid is looking good. I think that we want to maintain the first or the second seed. The Bucks are in some good form, you know, and they'll probably be on some good energy after signing Jrue Holiday to that big extension. You don't want to face both of those teams in the postseason. Both of them are incredibly talented teams. And then, you know, if you've got a Miami Heat or a Boston Celtics or a Charlotte Hornets, whoever else it is, you want to give yourself the best chance of having the best postseason run. And ultimately, it's all about the health, Nick, as we've alluded to plenty of times about this team. James Harden, hamstring tightness, not necessarily the worst thing in the world. Kevin Durant coming back sooner rather than later. Man, I just want to see these three guys out there, because it's been seven games. You know, we've been teased by it a lot, Nick. It's just like, you know, it's like you're allowed to have like half the packet of chips, where it's just like, I'm hungry. You know, I want the burger. I want everything. Give me the dessert. Give me the milkshake. And it's just like, nah, you guys can just have the onion rings for now.
Yeah, it's like when you're at the mall and they're handing out samples and you only get the sample of it because it's just such a small taste. Because like you said, Jack, I mean, it's going to be extremely exciting when this team is fully healthy. And I'm not only obviously intrigued to see them on the court, but I'm intrigued to see what Steve Nash does with the rotations and who plays and who doesn't and how they kind of match up, because you want to make sure you have some counters, some different lineups, some adjustments you can make for the postseason. So hopefully they get healthier sooner than later.
That's all that matters, Nick.
100%. Jack, always a pleasure. Big thanks, everybody, for listening. And check us out on all streaming platforms.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.